Welcome to Heritage by Design, a podcast for heritage speakers. My name is Gabriela.
I am Jade.
I'm Megan.
Welcome to Heritage by Design, the podcast by and for those of us from bilingual homes. In each episode, we'll connect with heritage speakers and signers from different backgrounds to explore our stories and experiences at home, work, and in the world in general, to build up our community and show the struggles and the beauty of being heritage by design. Thanks for listening.
Hello.
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 Welcome back to our Heritage by Design podcast. It's been some time since we last talked to you. And today we're going to talk about how we fell into our language career. But something to note is that not all of us started the language career from the get-go. Some of us actually fumbled a little bit and got here today. So without further ado, let's see what each one of us studied when we were still in school. Who wants to start first? I think Gabby should go first because that's like an actual, like, way more formal path of getting into,
a bow tied on.
Yeah, not necessarily more formal, but I think a little bit more, kind of simple, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Exactly. That's the word I was looking for, straightforward. I did my undergrad at Regis University, which is a small private school here in Denver. Mm-hmm. And when I started, I didn't really know like what I wanted to major in, what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So I was just doing, my required classes, the classes that you have to take, your core classes. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that I was really liking sociology. So that's the first major that I declared. Mm-hmm. And then I was also taking language classes. And because I already had, proficiency, I started with advanced courses. Mm-hmm. So I was taking literature classes and like culture classes, and those were all like super cool to me. And that's also where I met like other heritage speakers of Spanish. Like, it's always really nice to find your people on these campuses. And so, I was just doing my undergrad thing, mm-hmm. not really thinking about it much. But something that really stood out to me was that in both of those departments, sociology and in the language department, I had professors who are Latinas. Mm-hmm. And that to me was something that was totally new. I had never had a Latina professor or mm-hmm. teacher mm-hmm. prior to that, or any teacher of color, actually. I was like, that's really cool that, that we're out here teaching, that we're professors. Yeah. So it was, I started to see myself in them. I really admired the professors that I was taking courses with. And I was like, I kind of want to be like them. So I started asking around, how does one become a professor?
Become them. Like,
and actually, I didn't know if I wanted to teach sociology or Spanish because I like them both. Oh. And I didn't really have any experience teaching because in at my university, service learning is big. So one of my service learning projects was teaching English at a Latina safe house. And I really liked it. Like, it was like fun to teach language and fun to work with community members. So I was like, I think I could teach. Like, I think this is something that I could do.
And how old were you?
Undergrad. So between 18 and 22.
Like, that's crazy. That just seems like that's so cool that even then you were able to work with the community in a way that really like drew you in,
It was a great opportunity because before that, I don't think I would have really known like what's it like to teach. Is it something really that I could really do? I think it gave me like a little bit of a confidence boost because I was kind of good at it and I didn't have like really any training. They just like throw you in there.
Right.
Just like, here are these books, these materials, like teach this class. Yeah. And I was like, okay. I started talking to my mentors and they started telling me about different graduate programs. And that's another thing that I never really thought of was graduate school. Because in my family, no one had mm-hmm. even gone to undergrad. Just even being an undergrad was like a big deal for me and my family. So that's kind of how I landed. And then I heard about Georgetown. And another thing that was like important was that they told me that graduate programs should be funded. Like, don't go into a program that's not funded, because otherwise I don't think I would have done it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I applied to Georgetown and other universities, and I got into Georgetown, got into other programs as well. But ultimately, yeah, I ended up at Georgetown mostly because of the funding. I'm not gonna lie.
That's a good reason.
It is a good reason. Yeah. Yeah. I think so. I mean, I didn't.
It's a real
I did, like,
reason.
The program.
I mean, that's the
it's
thing.
It's a real reason.
Realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's be real. I mean, I don't, it wouldn't, otherwise it wouldn't have been a possibility for me, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, it was fully funded. And also there was an opportunity to teach. Mm-hmm. So that to me was also enticing because I was like, I really want to see if this is something that I like, if it's something that I can really do. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's ever since then I've been teaching. So yeah, I've had a pretty straightforward kind of boring path.
No, but you like it. That's what's really important. You enjoyed it a lot, so that makes it different.
Do you know how well, like, do you know how real boring people are, Gabby? Not a boring. I've met boring people. That's not boring.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, it's been interesting. I've definitely grown a lot, learned a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how I ended up here.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you ultimately chose Spanish instead of teaching sociology.
Yeah, and I actually also got into sociology program because up until the end, I was between the two of them.
Okay.
I was looking at both programs. But with sociology, there weren't a lot of opportunities to teach.
Yeah, I bet.
In those graduate programs. Mm-hmm. And I also had more experience teaching language because I had taught, mm-hmm. English classes for the community. Mm-hmm. So I felt a little bit more comfortable with that. But yeah, I mean, now I still kind of pull from my sociology background anyway.
Because
my research is on heritage speakers and it's hard to separate, the sociological part from our community.
It's super helpful. I mean, it's super helpful for what we do that you definitely are the one that knows that stuff.
Yeah.
So how did you feel, out of curiosity, starting to teach Spanish? Because I was like, oh boy, I mean, I have to do it, but how's this going to go?
I was ready for it, to be honest.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to it because I did really enjoy teaching English. So I was like, Spanish, I don't think will be that much different.
That's true. You had taught a language.
Yeah. I was a little concerned about, some like the grammar stuff just because, as a heritage speaker, I had never learned Spanish, from the beginning.
Learned the terms,
but what was helpful is that, I had studied French before, so that was, and the grammar works pretty, it's pretty similar.
Yeah.
The rules are kind of the same. The terms are the same, preterite and perfect. So that kind of helped having learned another language.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was like, I was excited actually to get into
amazing.
The classroom. Did I feel prepared? Not really, but I was like, I'll figure it out. Like, I think this is something that I'm good at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like having your professor really inspired you too. And like, if you run into anything, you can just think of, oh, like your ultimate goal is like, I want to do what this Latina professor has done. So having that is probably very inspiring too, which I also had teachers like that. That changes like my whole learning experience. Yeah.
Having that model was super helpful.
Oh,
tell us, Jade.
So I was when I first came to the States, of course I was in ESL class. And when I got to ninth grade, and I had this like really nice, not just nice, but very strict but kind. I never knew that they could be the same thing. They could like be together, they can blend into each other. So I have this really nice but like strict English teacher. And, her class was really fun. And like, I was always learning so much from her. And like, I was like, oh, one day I want to be like her. And I still think the same way, like today. And when I was in, I think my second year of ninth grade, I was very lucky to have her again. And so she actually trained me to like participate in a speaking contest. And so to those of you who are wondering why my Chinese is so good, like air quotes, Because everyone who, like, every parent, everyone that I met, they would be like, oh my gosh, your Chinese is so good. But I was like, no, like, it's not that. This is, people are thinking the opposite, because it's because my English is sort of like deceiving to them, because they would think that I was born here or whatever. And that's all because of the speaking contest. I was kind of not forced to learn to reduce my Chinese accent and speak like perfect air quote English, but I wanted to like not be put in a disadvantage at a speaking contest. Like, I don't want like anyone to think, like, I want people to focus on the content of the speech rather than like my accent, basically. But anyway, so, and then she practice with me, and then we like did the speech, and I get to meet like her whole family, and her family helped me with the speech. So it was just like a really good experience. I had this teacher, and later became my friend, and we would like, she would come to my house for Lunar New Year celebration sometimes. So it was just a nice experience. So I looked up to her, and I feel like sometimes when I run into like teaching, especially teaching, questions that I have, she's always the person that I reach out to. So, and I feel like, and even though she's not Chinese, like Latina, like Gabby's teacher, I feel like I can relate to her a lot, and I know she could be there for me. Anyways, that's my whole totally side story, not related to anything, but yes.
No, but I think that's nice to hear. Mm-hmm. I also, I mean, if I can also side comment on the side comment.
Yeah, right. For a second. Of course.
Like, I think in mm-hmm. like, you hear it a lot, especially mm-hmm. with people who are learning a language mm-hmm. or with heritage speakers, right? Of like mm-hmm. having an accent, and especially with, you know, like kind mm-hmm. of social justice initiatives, it's mm-hmm. like, it doesn't matter. You can speak however you want, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. is true in a sense, but mm-hmm. for some of us, it comes with a really big mm-hmm. stigma. And so yeah. I think that's also worth mm-hmm. pointing out that mm-hmm. even with these pushes that are oftentimes mm-hmm. from the outside of, no, it's great. However you speak is good. You know, we're going to empower yeah. people to speak however they speak. It's like, yeah, but there is a very real consequence mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. not speaking in certain ways. And that's just a reality. Yeah. And I just wanted to highlight like yeah. that. I know we're touching mm-hmm. on that because yeah. I think that's also, there's the reality. Yeah. Of it mm-hmm. and
okay. Yeah. Okay. I can totally comment on that because I always have no problem with telling people where I'm from. Like, I would like so proudly tell you, oh, like, I'm Chinese American. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm from China. But I hate it if I start speaking and people start asking me, oh, so where are you from? Like mm-hmm. like there was like no, and where there is no indication of I'm from somewhere else, or they're like, or I feel like, where are you from is a good, it's a very neutral question, but like an assumption, like, oh, do you speak Chinese mm-hmm. or whatever? So yeah. like, I don't like being like assumed. I like to tell people that like, yeah. I speak this and I am from here and I am yeah. from whatever places. So yeah. yeah, but then, but also, you know, that's back to like our labeling episode where I was like, I don't want to be labeled at something.
From the very start.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that was a side to the side.
Yeah. Right, pretty side comments. But that was fun. So how did you start, Megan? Was that like a similar path to Gabby?
Not even a little bit. No. I think it's funny because the three of us, I think, had pretty different mm-hmm. ways of landing mm-hmm. yeah. in teaching language. Yeah. But no, my mom is a retired Spanish teacher, and she mm-hmm. taught middle school and high school Spanish, but mostly high school Spanish. Mm-hmm. And I was always like, I do not want to be a Spanish teacher. Mm-hmm. Like growing up, I used to help her. She'd give me like $1 to help her grade quizzes.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
Cute.
It was like, I have all these quizzes to grade, you know, and for me, it was easy because I could read more or less, you know, I could, oh, or yeah. even if I couldn't read the word, it was like, they were the super simple high school type quizzes of like multiple choice for vocab or yeah. whatever it was. But for the simple, simple things, mm-hmm. she would sometimes just have me grade it. And
she had her TA.
She had her TA. Wow. And I got paid $1. That was the going rate.
Wow, that was a good rate.
She got a good deal.
I think so.
So, and I always used to just see how much like she used to leave super early in the morning, you know, because it's it's public school. And then and I don't know, just like grading stuff. And I'd be like, oh my God, there are like 100 of these. Like, this is a lot. And I was just, And then on top of it, like the language part just didn't, I was like, I don't want to be in the language classroom. So I was always like, I don't know what I want to do, but I definitely do not want to be a Spanish teacher. I was like, I'm not going to do that.
So not happening.
So I went into chemistry and I taught chemistry because I had worked in labs and I was like, I don't know if I want to work in a lab exactly. So, okay. But I do like working with kids. So I started teaching and then I very quickly found out that, oh, it's a different world to teach. The public school system is
I bet.
So, but I was working with, but I was working with students, like a lot of ELLs, a lot of kids from immigrant families. And long story short, I ended up doing like a quick master's, just to see about applied linguistics. And I loved it. And then, my professors were like, you should apply for PhD. And I was interested in it. And then I ended up also at Georgetown.
Is that how you guys met?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Haven't you listened to our episodes, Jade?
I know. I feel like it never pointed out.
We have a whole episode on it.
You're like 15 episodes behind of our own podcast. we met at Georgetown. So, and it was just, you taught Spanish. So I was like, okay. I mean, I speak Spanish, so I guess I can do it, but had I taken French at that point? I don't even think I had taken, I think I had taken one French class like 5 years prior. And I had never really like also any kind of Spanish grammar I had done was like once quickly. So I was like, I don't know any of the terms. Do not ask me how the conjugate this, like, I don't know. So I wasn't like super excited about it, but I also, I wasn't dreading it, but it wasn't my reason for like, this is why I'm doing this program. It was just, I was coming from chemistry. I had limited options because I didn't have certain research skills to go, you know, so there were a lot of reasons for ending up where in the end I was meant to end up and I'm glad that I did. I never wanted to be a Spanish teacher. And then I started doing it and I was like, hey, I'm good at this. So it worked out and here I am. But yeah, that was not ever my goal or my vision. But now
it's so interesting that you two have a science background.
Well, but
it's crazy.
Yeah. Because Jane, you studied math, right?
Yeah. So I study statistics and like quant. So it was so funny how I ended up teaching because I've always been like tutoring people as like a side gig just to make a little extra money. And I feel like that's also the only skill I have. Like, not gonna lie. Everyone's like working at restaurants, like waiting tables and like at, like being a receptionist. I can't like I feel like every friend I know from school, they have to be working one of these jobs, right? And I was actually kind of jealous. I was never put to do these things because I don't have those skills. Or someone's like, always have a friend who's a barista at Starbucks. And I'm like, I wish I could work at Starbucks so I would know how to make coffee now. So like, I just have been tutoring so much because I don't have any other skills.
Please. To use.
So anyways, I started when I was in middle school, but like in middle school, I just started tutoring math, like for people, like for other, you know, kids younger than me, or like I was at the library, I was volunteering some of the days. And so I was just helping people with homework and usually math. Like there's also, I can't tutor anything else. Usually math, because I was like a fairly new immigrant kid. Mm-hmm. And so math was easier for me because there's not so much to explain, or in a way, like there's not as much writing.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like science. It's not like English, not history. Yeah. math is...
you can show everything in numbers.
Yeah, you can show it in numbers. You can show them steps. So it always... I've thought about actually going into college, mm-hmm. what I wanted to study, like actually study, because the speaking contest I mentioned earlier kind of did affect me a little bit.
Oh, cool.
So I wanted to do journalism in college. That's what I wanted to study. And then I was like, Jade, like, there are people who were born here and... You're going to study twice as hard and you get like half their grade. So like, nah, like you study something that it's at your advantage, which is something math related. But then I actually do, you know, I wasn't great at it, but I do like math with some word problems, like more realistic. So like statistic was a good fit because like statistics usually very practical. Yeah. Well, practical in a way, like it's a lot of case studies. Like, okay, so yeah, case studies. So a lot of like real world problems or whatever, business problems. So that's why I did the program. And when I was in the program, I liked it. And I also did it because I knew one day I really like teaching. Maybe one day I'll go back. So then that's why right now, as while I'm younger, I want to learn something that's more, well, practical. So like I can like more like hard skills that I could use at like a job. So, but when very
can I just say right now, one of my best friends listening to this episode is going to be going, yes, stats, because she studies stats as a minor, and she listens to the podcast now with her little daughter. And Steph's going to be happy to hear the stats love and the math love in this episode.
Oh, I'm glad. So, and one thing that's really cool is that when I was in college in my second, third year, there was like a small pivot point. I've been still tutoring Chinese at that point. I was teaching students. And one day, like a friend and I were talking and she was asking me stuff like, oh, how do you say Happy Mother's Day? I want to say it to my parent. And I'm like, oh, this, you say it like, that's how you say it in Cantonese. Wait, it's coming out actually. Wait, next week. Wait, all the Cantonese kids, Mo Tan Si Fai Lao. Anyway, that's how you say it. And she was asking me that, but like in a second thought, I was like, wait a second. So how do you usually talk to your parents? Like, how do you communicate with her? Like usually.
Yeah.
And the question and the issue is that they don't, like, not really. They just, I don't know, like they just kind of guess what each other's like. That's like how she grew up. We kind of just guess.
We hear that a lot.
Most of the time you get it right, but like, well, guessing, you can't go too far. You can't talk about like very deep rooted problems with just guessing, right? So anyways, it's not like a whole lot of communication, but then they have good relationship. And I was like, I was just like not getting it. I was like, what? And but then I learned that later on, it's something very common among us, like heritage, like families. But then anyways, I started this like study group for like anyone who wants to study Cantonese, and we'll go to like a coffee shop, right? I might have mentioned it in previous episodes, but I don't remember. So yeah, we would go to a coffee shop.
You gotta listen to these episodes, Jade. They're really good.
I need to listen to them. I don't know what I said before. So I started these like coffee shop lessons. And so I was like, invite your friends. It's free. Like, we just come together. And then I told another like older friend who actually owns like a preschool. And I told her like, I'm stressed a little bit because I never know how many people are coming. Like, I need to go to a coffee shop and get a table. That's something really practical. There's not always a coffee shop with 10 seats waiting for you. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So you just have to kind of get there early to get a table. But luckily I was, you know, and then she offered to let me teach at her school. And so on the weekends, I was like, oh, wow, that's great. So I started going, and every week I'm such a stat kid. I would use previous data to predict how many kids will show up, or kids, how many students will show up this week. The weather index for this week is this. Season is this.
That is not how my brain works at all.
Who show up last
I go by
week.
Vibes. I'm like, yeah, maybe people will show up. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'll play it by ear.
Right? Well, because I need to know how many copies to make, right? And so sometimes there's like so many people and sometimes there aren't. So I was like, let me try to do like put up with the range. Like the range today, it was always like a prediction. Today there'll be like 6 to 12 people that would show up. Now I will print 12, like the most handouts. So yes, that's how I used
but to. But that's really interesting because, you yeah. know, like mm-hmm. I had a class mm-hmm. of however yeah. many students, and those yeah. were the kids in my class. And I mean, yeah, there were kids that didn't show up, but I was expecting yeah. everybody yeah. to come because they yeah. were getting a grade for it. They were paying for it. Mm-hmm. Like, so that's really interesting that, yeah, for you, it was so community-based that you were, you're like, right. you don't want to pay to print stuff out that yeah. then you didn't use because you're also,
waste it. Yeah.
yeah, you don't want to waste mm-hmm. the paper. You don't yeah. want to. So mm-hmm. that's really interesting
yeah.
that it's such a different context. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yes. So anyways, this, and then so the class was free, so people can come in and out, which I didn't really like about because then you don't never know who would show up. Mm. And at one point, I made a donation phase, and we actually chose a kid to sponsor with the donation money. Yeah, like that was like a whole cool. thing that went on, but like oh, it's cool. ended now. It's ended now because the class ended. So, okay. so yeah. Anyway, so that happened, and I really liked it, and. I think in my third year of college, I actually went on to like another school to study, which sent me to Beijing to study for like second language teaching. So I was in college, but there was a summer I went to Beijing to study how to teach Chinese. And so, yeah, so it was really fun. And I met so many like aspiring teachers and well, who want to teach Chinese. Or a second language. And so it was really fun and met these amazing people and then came back. Oh,
so you actually went to Beijing to teach in Chinese, how to teach Chinese?
To learn cool. how to teach Chinese.
Yeah.
Okay. Learn. I was like, amazing. Whoa, that
yeah,
was
to learn how to teach Chinese. No. I okay, was not okay. qualified. I was not qualified. It was a stat kid. You guys are thinking of. I was not qualified for that.
I just like, thought whoa.
It would be fun. It would be fun to do. And I came back. And so I wanted to write a book at that time to teach Cantonese because there weren't so many Cantonese learning books. And yeah. so there's not a lot of resource. And I also wanted to do some, yeah, I just wanted to a book to learn Cantonese, but in an easier way. That's not like so textbooky. And yeah. I came back and I was like, you know what, Jade, like this is, yeah, like there's so many amazing professors out there who can write so much better than you. Like, why do you even want to try? So like, I gave up the thought. I know this like always part of me bullying the bigger part of me. So
that's the second time in one story we get that roller coaster of like, and then I decided I would not be able to.
I would not do that. Oh. And I guess, and then sometime in it later on in the same year, and then I had this boyfriend and then he couldn't speak Chinese. That was the point. That was he couldn't talk to my parents. So I was like, you okay. know what? And he didn't have anything to study. Well, like that's very more approachable. Sorry, my stories are getting so long. But anyways, the end of the story is I started writing because I was like, I wish he could have something like more approachable to study. So that came my first Cantonese learning book, and goes on, but that's how I started teaching Cantonese. And like more, that's like my official start, like in the Cantonese world.
So yours is like community based, as community based as it can be, literally. Like in your own home community.
Yeah, it's a homecoming. Yeah, it's nothing nothing like yours, and yours is like very straight. Some of yours are more straightforward. Or like you're forced into it at a little bit, like at some point. But me, I was choosing to do it, like at any given point, kind
of. So it's so funny. We definitely have three different, three very different thoughts, which is kind of cool. So then, okay, so starting in reverse, maybe Jade, what would have helped you make because you said twice and then I wanted to do this and I thought there are going to be people better at that than me.
Yeah,
what would have supported you or helped you at any one of those times to go for it before like you had this boyfriend?
Oh, yeah, well no, it's forget about him. Like, so I think for most part of it, I feel like he's a small motivation. He's not all of
it. Yeah, it's not so, you.
Okay, yeah, no.
If he's listening, it's not because of you.
So every time I think of what would happen if I don't do it now, and it would hurt, like I would feel.
But would that have, is that what would have helped you go for it?
I think at some point, what would be really important if, I think about this constantly too, is what would it be like if I had my parents' support? It's some of my academics, like related subjects. It's not like they're not willing to support me, but I think they grow out of it since seventh grade. Like there's nothing really that they could help me with the homework, with like application process. And not only my parents didn't go to college, they didn't go to school at all So they're not very familiar with the system. So I think about, and so occasionally I would talk to other people who are my parents' age. And when they talk to me, I think, wow, this is the kind of support that their kids have. Because sometimes they're like, they're working, these parents are working good jobs and they're able to give like advice to their kids. And I'm like, I was like, wow, my gosh, like, what would I be? I don't even know what I might do if I have that much like support in my back. So. Yeah. And also I have to think about something very practical, like financially, like I need to.
Yeah, that support is necessary. Yeah,
that would change.
Because I mean, I was kind of the same, like I was super scared to start a graduate program because that would, I mean, that would have required me to move. And at that point, like I had lived at home my whole life. I was a commuter kid. So I lived at home during college. And the idea of, of moving, starting a new program, I was like, I don't even know if I'm like good enough for grad school. Like, I don't know if this is something I can do. So I've really thought about it. Like I was really stressing out about it. I was really doubting myself. But again, those mentors, like I'm so grateful for them. Otherwise, I don't think I'd be here. Because they really pushed me. They're like, of course you can. Like, you know, like we did it, you know? And they're like, back in the day, we had even less support than you have now. Their encouragement, their support, that was huge to me. Because like you said, our parents, they don't, I mean, mine are really supportive, but when it comes to things related to, you know, to school or to career paths, like that's not their strong suit. That's not something that they're familiar with, that they know how to navigate, that they can really help me with. All they can do is kind of offer their encouragement and their love and, you know, but.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting, Jade, what you said about like that you're happy that you studied stats, because I very much feel the same way. Like if I go back, I still would not have studied something relating to language. I did a Spanish minor, but that was more because it was just like, why not? But my intention was never, to necessarily, you know, go into a career in that. It was always to go into STEM, to go into science, to go into chemistry, you know, so, and I'm still really happy that I did, because science, and I still really love chemistry.
Yeah, does it still come now that does it still come in handy? Do you still use your science background? Like, how do you incorporate it now?
I do, and I also have a very strong pull still towards STEM and towards science. And now that because I have the science background, that you can't really get community-based theoretical science background. I think it would be much more difficult to get the education I got in chemistry by like teaching chemistry, because there's only so much, you know, like there's only so much. But I did learn a lot about language and teaching language and learning languages and language learning theories just by teaching, you know, just from like day one teaching. So I think the opposite would not have really worked out so well, just because of how these different theme, you know, different subjects work. But yeah, I'm really happy that I studied chemistry, because I still have that background. I have, you know, the practical knowledge also. And now that I have the knowledge
and the experience with the language side of things, I am able to kind of think about something that's not, that we don't necessarily think about directly relating to language. So like, if we're gonna, if I'm gonna be able to work with, you know, if we're gonna be able to help kids who are from these sorts of backgrounds, heritage speakers, kids, you know, who are coming to, in our case, to the US, who are learning English, they're not just learning English, right? They're learning science, they're learning math, they're learning other things, they're learning, you know, social norms also, they're learning interpersonal relationships, they're learning how to have friends, because they're kids, they're learning still all the things that other kids who aren't on top of it, learning another language or speaking another language, right? But they're having to do this in multiple languages. So I do think that we do need people also who, you know something about sociology, know something about stats and math and STEM and science, because it also is not going to be that these people are only working in things directly related to language. So I'm still really happy that, like you said, Jade, I wouldn't have changed that. I still would go back and do it the same way.
I know. Interdisciplinary queens, you know, our combined work and our different disciplines. I think at the end of the day, it's useful, and it really informs the work that we do and the way we approach things, right? Like, I still pull from my sociology background all the time.
So hopefully, I hope if anybody is listening, if you do something else and you are a heritage speaker or have heritage speaking friends, you know, encourage them. Just that their knowledge, however it might be, right, of like another culture, another language, and whatever they do, like you, it matters. Even if it's not an official career path, I just feel like that even when I was teaching science, the fact that I was a heritage speaker and had any kind of just knowledge of the experience, just having experienced certain parts of it also helped me be a better science teacher, which eventually also led me to a path in a language career that now is also coming full circle in some ways with projects that I'm working on. So yeah, I think the three of us having combined so many things also kind of shows that we care
both academic and also lived experience.
Yeah.
I think all of that combined together. It's amazing. Thank you everyone so much for listening. Hopefully this, you know, let you know a little bit more about us and our career path. And, you know, it's not always linear. Hopefully you're able to draw a bit of inspiration from it. And this is just a little bit of who we are. There's so much more to the story, but we don't want to bore you with all the details, but we are not boring people. Actually,
we are not boring.
Say that again.
No, you're right. We are not boring. Yeah. We're interdisciplinary queens and we bring so much to the table. But yes, thank you for listening and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye-bye. If you like our podcast and want to follow more stories of our heritage speakers, learners, and teachers, please feel free to subscribe to our podcast. And we can't wait to hear from you from the next episode. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Bye-bye. Adios. Muchas gracias.